Welcome to Data Science Now, a podcast by Cluster, with your host Fabio Vasquez. Today we'll discuss how and where to collect the right datasets to solve a business problem, including great tools to help you with the process. Follow us on social media at Cluster Team. This is Data Science Now.
Hello everyone, and welcome to a new episode of Data Science Now. I'm Fabio Vasquez, your host, and I'm very excited to be here with you discussing this great topic of data collection. This is the fourth session of the new season, and as you may remember, this season is all about the basics of data science. In the first, in the last two sessions, we discovered something about the world of business understanding and why is that important to the world of data science. So those newsletters and podcasts and videos, they're all there for you to watch. You have to just follow me on LinkedIn, go to my articles, and you'll see the newsletter. I want to thank more than 30,000 subscribers that we have right now in the newsletter. I'm very excited. This is going to happen in the course we're going to be spending almost all this year in this new season. It's going to be very interesting, and there are great things to come. So if you're not subscribed yet, please subscribe to the newsletter. So the topic of today is the world of data collection. I'm going to be trying to explain how this fits the role of data science after we understand the business. And this is very important. Remember that each one of these sessions we're going to be having from now, they depend on you to understand the business, the context, the project that you want to do. So if you want to be sure that you understand all of that, make sure to watch the past episodes and read the newsletter to get more information. So I think the first question we can ask is, what is data collection? So I'm going to define data collection as the process of gathering and measuring information on variables of interest in an established systematic fashion that enable one to answer queries, state research questions, test hypotheses, and evaluate outcomes. If you're just here, I'm going to read it again for you. So, data collection is the process of gathering and measuring information of variables of interest in an established systematic fashion that enable one to answer queries, state research questions, test hypotheses, and evaluate the outcomes. So, data collection is a process where you, after you understand the requirements for the project, after you understand what's going to happen, or what's the goal of the project, what's the idea of the business, what they're trying to solve, then you go there and try to look for data. And that can be internally and externally. I'm going to be talking about that later in this session, but most of the data will come from your internal processes. And that data has different types. So before going into the types of data we have, let me tell you an idea that is very important in the concept I gave before. There's a portion in the concept that says that we're doing that in a systematic fashion, and that is very important. Data collection is not just trying to get data out of nowhere without a process. You need to do it consistently. You need to find a way of doing it so it's easy to understand what you're doing and the process can be documented. Data collection is not a random process. You have to plan for it. You need to create a plan to do it. So that depends on you creating processes to do it. And I want to be sure that you understand that data collection depends also on the engineering process, on data engineering. The data scientist alone could be able to do some things, and that we will discuss later, but this also depends on people like data architects, like DevOps specialists, data ops people, data engineers, back-end developers. All of these people will take some role in the process of data collection. a few days ago, I posted on LinkedIn that in a data science project, you need much more than just a data scientist. And that's completely true. Even though if you're a small company and you're starting in the process of data science, and you will be putting a lot of pressure and things to do to a data scientist, if you really want to create a good system to enable the systematic decision making that data science creates, you need a lot of different people and with a lot of different expertise that can help you build the system. By the way, if you have any questions while I'm talking, please post them on LinkedIn and I'm going to be able to reply when we end the session. So we have established what is data collection. So what are the goals of data collection? That can be one of the different questions. And the goals, and I'm taking this from the team data science process. This is the one of the methodologies for doing data science created by Microsoft. And they say that the goal of data collection, that they actually call data acquisition, is to produce a clean, high-quality data set whose relationship to the target variables is understood. Also, to locate the data set in the appropriate analytics environment so you are ready to model. You also want to develop a solution architecture of the data pipeline that refreshes the score and end scores the data regularly. So one of the ideas of data collection and the goal of data collection is not only to understand better the problem, but to solve the problem. Normally, we have a target variable in data science. That's not the case for every data science project, but most cases, data science will take into account the world of modeling and machine learning that we'll discuss later in these sessions. But when you do machine learning and you do modeling, you normally have a variable in mind that you want to predict. So the idea of data collection is to be able to select the features that are going to enable you the process of modeling so you can predict something. So the very first step of data collection is try to understand where you have the data. And the data can be very widely spread in a company. And so in this process, you need also people that can tell you where's the data, where you can find it, how can you access it, and how can you interact with the systems that are storing the data. Sometimes also, you need to get new data. You need to find new sources of information. And so normally, we split this process. I have a question here I'm going to be reading later. Some of the process is you have to collect new data. So that is done in very different ways. You can do surveys. You can try to collect data from external sources. But in most cases, as I mentioned in the beginning, you already have some data stored in a database. I'm going to discuss later in this session what's a database, but for now, you need to understand that most companies are storing data in different ways. Let's say you have a company that is selling something. Let's say you have a retail company. It can be a small retail company. So in this small retail company, you have something like, like a point of sale that you can accept payment in there. So normally, there is a system that is connecting your own company database to those points of sales. And you're getting transactional data. So that's one type of data. Transactional data is a data created from transactions of customers. And that can be stored in databases. And then you can find a way of understanding what you have in there. I'm not going to talk about in this session about data exploring and data understanding. That's not going to happen in this session. We're going to have a session for that later. So right now, I'm just thinking about the collection of data. There's a step. There's a very important step before the connection between requirements and data collections is measuring the drivers, and this is a very important step. When you're gathering new data, you need a purpose. I mean, if you're gonna spend, and this is important, if you're going to spend time and money collecting data, that data should be good to use, right? Sometimes it could happen, and this is normal, that you will get some data sets that you don't use in the end. That's common. But you don't want to spend months and millions of dollars trying to think about how to collect data and collect it and then don't find the information that you need to solve the problem. So to be able to avoid those scenarios, you need to measure drivers and you need to see what is the type of data you will be needing to solve a problem. Let me tell you an example here. Let's say you are a company that you want to predict if the next marketing campaign will be successful. So you are a marketing company and you're launching a new campaign. The question is here, like, how do I know if this campaign will be good or not? And so you start thinking about data collection. Which data can I use that will help me predict if the new campaign will be good or not? So mostly, a lot of systems for marketing, like Google Ads and stuff like that, they will have a dashboard, and you can collect the data from there. And that's easy. It's an actual easy process. It's not taking that much time, not that expensive. And you want to be sure that you're collecting the right set of information for that. You can also bring external information about different people doing campaigns. Like the statistics of the country you're in regarding marketing. Like what is the basic KPI for counting clicks or counting purchases, whatever. So that process of thinking, the way you're doing that, I mean, how you know which data to collect depends on you understanding what you need to measure to be able to get the solution. So data collection depends on you understanding the business problem very, very well, and also understanding which type of measurements can help you solve the problem, because those measurements are going to be your features. And when we are in the process later in the sessions about machine learning, you'll see that the target variables are predicted from the features you have for the data. All right, so most of the data you have is coming from different data sources, databases, but you can also get new data like surveys. So I think this is a good time for us to talk about the different types of data you can get. Let me, I'm going to divide this into two big pieces. And one of the set of informations you can get or data is quantitative data. Quantitative data is the thing you can measure, the things that are easy to measure, like numbers. You can get numeric data from your customers, like their age, or you can get the latitude and longitude of where they live. You can get how much money they're expending in your company. So those type of measurements are quantitative because you're getting an actual number that represents that set of information. And you also have qualitative data. And qualitative data means that you have, is more like a subjective set of data sets. You can ask for questions, like you can ask open questions to your customers in surveys. So that depends on their answer, and you can also get more information about like satisfaction. You can ask them, are you satisfied with the service we're doing? So that can be is in the middle between quantitative and qualitative. So those are like the big chunks of data you can get. Inside of these data sets, you also have three types of data: structured data, semi-structured data, and unstructured data. Structured data is the one you're storing in databases. So I think it's a good time to talk about on what's a database. Again, let me just do a quick summary of what we're discussing right now. We're trying to think on ways of getting data to solve a problem. And right now I am discussing on the different ways you have to collect it, and now we have to think about what types of data we have and how can we collect it. So, as I mentioned, most of the data in a company is stored in a database. And in a general sense, a database is an organized collection of data. That's a good definition. It's a simple definition. So a database is an organized collection of data. So more specifically, if you want to get a better definition, and I'm taking this from an article I created 2 years ago, I'm going to be posting all of the links in the newsletter. So subscribe to the newsletter so you're able to get all this information. And so a database, more specifically, is an electronic system that allows data to be easily accessed, manipulated, and updated. So that's a database where you're storing your information. Normally, when we talk about structured data, we meet something called a relational database. And a relational database, we have a set of formally described tables from which data can be accessed or reassembled in many different ways without having to reorganize the whole database tables. Basically, in this type of databases, we have schemas in where we can store different tables. And inside of those tables, we have a set of columns and rows. And inside of a specific position, let's say a row and a column, you have an observation. We also have relationship between those tables. So that is a relational database. It's a system where we're storing tables, where we're storing information in an organized way because we know the names of the columns, we know the names of the tables, we know when we see an observation, where it's coming from, and we also have relationships between our data tables. Most companies rely on relational databases. Most of them depend on the concept of relations between tables, and all of their information is stored in this type of databases. They have cons and pros. I'm not going to discuss that in this session. Maybe later we can discuss about like what are the differences between different type of databases and stuff like that. But right now, let me tell you that most people still today in 2020 are using relational databases. And the language to talk to them is SQL or SQL. So if you want to be a good data scientist, you need to know SQL. All right? And I cannot stress enough how many people are going into advanced libraries, TensorFlow, Python, all these great things that are actually useful. But if you don't know SQL, it's impossible that you will get information in most companies. So it's important that you know SQL before going into a more advanced system. All right, so most data is stored in databases, and most databases are relational. And when we talk about those type of information, we normally talk about something called structured data. What is semi-structured data? Well, when you open Excel or you open a CSV file, something like that, that can be considered a semi-structured data. Why? Because you do have a structure. You have columns and you have rows and you have the names of the columns and you have stuff like that. But you don't have all of the operation, all of the system of connect tables. You don't have all of these things about primary keys and foreign keys that are depending on structured data. So semi-structured data are just tables in Excel or in Python, Pandas, columns, stuff like that. So that is semi-structured data. And it's actually very common in companies as well. I think right now, for most projects in data science, is semi-structured, where you have some data frames, that we call them, with some information about a system, where you have features that can help you predict a target variable. The third type of data is unstructured data. And unstructured data is everything that doesn't have a structure, like plain text. If you are downloading tweets, That is a set of unstructured data. If you're just getting the text of a tweet and you have 1,000 tweets in your in a text file, that is unstructured data. Let's say you're gathering voice data, like you're recording people's voices. That is also a set of unstructured data. If you have videos, that is unstructured data. Videos contain information, and that information can be useful for your company, but it is unstructured. You don't have a way of structuring that. Music is unstructured data. So all of this set of information where you cannot define a schema and you cannot define a structure for that, that's unstructured data. I read a few years ago that I'm almost 80% of data sources in companies are unstructured, and not a lot of people are using that data because it's not easy. So that's why we're very lucky that in this past 2-3 years, there has been a great and a tremendous momentum on creating libraries and systems to understand unstructured data. We may discuss that later, but for now, think about that you have these three types of data. So now we know which type of data we have. We have quantitative data, we have qualitative data, we have a structure, semi-structure, and unstructured data. And we know that this data can come from surveys, or it can come from actual point of sales or sensor data internally from the company. So normally, when we think about all of these things, we need to think about something very important, and it's the ethics of data collection. And so the ethics of data collection is something that I won't have time to talk enough about it in this session, but I'm going to be putting more information on the ethics of data collection in the newsletter. So hopefully as soon as possible, when we have downloaded all of this and we can put it on YouTube and on Spotify, you will be able to get the newsletter, and you'll get more links and videos on the world of ethics of data collection. But the ethics of data collection, it's important because, and it's going to get more and more important in the future, because we now have regulation for data science. Now we can, there's a lot of countries where this regulation is very, very hard. And you need to understand those type of regulations, because if you're getting data from your customers, there's a lot of things that you need to take into account. Like, get proper consent from your audience. If you're collecting data from people, you need their consent. And this is important because a lot of us, in 5 years ago, we were much more free to do whatever we wanted with people's data. Now it's not the case. And I think this is a good thing because, we're also people and we want our data to be safe and we want our privacy. So you need to get consent from people and to be able to really have a legal way of storing their information. You cannot rely exclusively on third-party data. And if you depend on third-party data, you need to know where that data is coming from. And this is important. If you're buying a data set, or if you're paying a company to get you more information about a process, you also need to know that they have consent from their audience to get data from them. And I'm talking about consent and people here, because most of the data science data sets are coming from people, people's behavior, people's interaction, people's transactions. So we need to understand that even if we're not collecting the data, if we're using some data sets, we need to know that the people have the rights to use that data sets, and the people who were asked to do something like that, they have consent from their audience. You need to be clear with what you're collecting and how you will use it. And this is important because if you're collecting data from your customers and you have a customer regulation data in your country, any customer can come to the official places, and they can ask, hey, I want to know how this company is using my data. And that has happened in the past. I'm going to be posting some links in the newsletter about the Facebook case with Cambridge, Cambridge Analytica. I don't remember the name, but it was a company with Cambridge. And that was the problem Facebook had with the breach of more than 50 million customers from their data. And I'm also going to put a video where the Senate in the United States was interviewing the CEO of Google, asking him very important questions about how Google is using and collecting our information. So this is something that right now, only the big guys are facing. Facebook, Amazon, Google, Netflix. I mean, they're facing the consequences of collecting data, but that will happen more and more in the future. And if you're in the process of data collection, you need to understand that this may affect you. And you need to evaluate yourself and your vendors. Again, you need to evaluate yourself and your vendors. You need to know what are the policies you have for data collection. So the ethics of data collection is just being clear about what type of data you're collecting from whom, and also being clear to your customers on how you're going to be using their data. All right? That's all I'm going to say here on the ethics of data collection. I'm going to be putting more of that in the newsletter. Now I think I want to talk about two final points. One is creating data sets from scratch. So I've discussed the process of surveys to get information from your customers or from the audience. And you can also have more ways on collecting data in that way, but you can also create data from scratch. You can measure stuff, and like scientists are doing that all the time. If you have a process, you can set up different ways of automatic collection of the data you are producing. That can be sensor data, that can be data from your systems, whatever. And there's another way of data collection from scratch, and it's data or web scraping. So web scraping is a process where you're collecting information from websites, okay? And this is also very important. And there are a lot of limitations on what can you collect, because a lot of web pages, they have certain locks. So you cannot collect everything from them, but there's a lot of things that you can do. And there's a guy here on LinkedIn, he's called Ken G. So I don't know if you're there or if you're going to watch this later. So Ken G, he has a great video. He has a set of videos that are similar to this, but he's actually coding. He's a great video where he's collecting data from Glassdoor about salaries of data science. So if you want to create a predictor that depending on the type of job, you can get the salary. So that's what he's doing. And he's doing that using Python. So how can you collect data from the web using something like Python? Well, you need there are different ways of doing it. One of the easiest things or the easiest way of doing that is with two libraries, one called Requests and the other one called Beautiful Soup. So those are packages for parsing HTML and to parse XML documents, and you can extract helpful information from data from web pages. There's another way of doing it, and it is with a library called Selenium. Selenium is more complicated sometimes, but more powerful also sometimes, and it's used to automate browser activities. Let's say you want to get all of the images on Google about soda cans, okay? So you need to find a way of clicking next on Google, right? Because you search for soda can on Google and you have one page, and then you have to scroll down or click next to get more data. So Selenium can do that for you. It's a way to automate the browser activities, and you can extract the information that the browser is seeing. So again, data scraping is very interesting from the web, and you can create great data sets from that. And I think if you really want to understand the process of data collection and to be able to set up a database and all of that, the process of web scraping is very interesting, and you should follow along a tutorial. And I'm going to be posting Ken Yee's video so you can see it and follow along the process. And maybe I'm going to put more information about web scraping. So the final point of today's session is about data enrichment. And data enrichment is the process where you can get more information related to the information you already have. So let's say you have already done some surveys, you did web scraping, you have data from transactions, you have all of this. But there's information that you cannot collect internally. Let's say you have data about your customers' locations. Okay, you know their longitude and their latitude. But you want to get more out of that. What about if you want to understand what is around them? Like how many hospitals they have around them, how many schools, public schools, like in which city do they live? So all of this type of information is external to your company. You cannot get it internally. So what you do is you set up a process of data enrichment. And data enrichment is just that. Enrich the data you already have with external sources. And I'm going to be talking about later, and I'm going to create an article very, very soon about a software called Explorium. And Explorium is an amazing way of collecting external sources with consent. They have more than 10,000 sources of data that can connect to your data sets, and you can enrich them. So I already have an article on Explorium. I'm going to be posting that on the newsletter as well. In that article, I explain how to do a housing problem in data science, like predicting the price of a house. And I only had like the lat and long of a house. And with Explorium, I was able to get how many schools was around that, the city, the country, more information about like the events happening around that location. And all of those are features that you can use to predict more. So sometimes more features, something important here, more features is not a guarantee that you're going to get a better solution. But sometimes that's the case. Sometimes if you get more information about your features and your data, then you can get even more accurate solutions to what you're trying to predict. So Explorium is one of the best ways I've ever found to be able to enrich data. And data enrichment is actually a step in data collection because you're collecting more data. So you also need, after doing everything you need to do to collect the data you want, if you are enriching your data sets, you also need a systematic process of enrichment. You need to know that the data you're extracting from external sources is not changing. And if that data is changing, you need to know how it's changing because you need to track the changes. Tracking the changes of your data is huge and important. And one of the processes of doing that is called data version control. Data version control is a process we have. It's like the Git of data. And I do have a set of articles on data version control. And it's also very important because if for some reason your internal data or your external data changes, you need to find a way of knowing which change that was. Because if the change is huge, that can impact a lot on different processes that will be seen in next sessions. So data collection is just not a random process. I'm just closing the session right now. I want you to understand that this is not a random process that will happen by accident. No. You need to understand first the business, first the context of the problem, have an idea of what is driving the problem, maybe create some hypothesis that you think that can solve the problem. And when you have your requirements, then you go to collect data. That collection can be internal or external. There are different types of data you can collect. Also, that if you are collecting data, you need to be sure that you are able to do it, right? That you have consent from the audience, that you have all of the regulations in place to do that. And finally, if you are, you can also create data from scratch, like web scraping or also something like surveys. If you're also doing data enrichment, that I really think you should be doing data enrichment from external sources, you also need a way of systemizing that process, of automating the process of data enrichment. And one of the ways to do that is with this tool. It's called Explorium. And again, when I publish the newsletter, I'm going to be posting there the article that I already have. And I'm going to be creating a new article on Explorium very, very soon about its capabilities on data enrichment. So data collection, a fun process, but you have to take into account a lot of different things. I want to thank everyone for being here. I do have a question here. Where are the best practices you will suggest to have these data cartridges to speed up your data collection process? This was asked by Marcelo Martinez. So data cartridges, I want to be sure that I understand your question. So a data cartridge is something like, I wait to store it. Okay. So there's something I didn't discuss in this talk, and it's about something called data catalog. If you really want to do a good process of data collection, you need to have a data catalog. You need to know where the data is. And one of the processes for this is called data management. So data management and governance are very important. And I won't have time to discuss best practices in here, but I think I can tell you that if you really want to do a good process of data collection and have a way of dividing your cartridges in different processes, you need to have a good data management system. You need to have data governance. You need to have maturity of that. And to be mature in data governance, you need a lot of data literacy. And this is important because that should happen in every place of the company. I mean, if you really want to have information about who's the owner of the data, who's collecting the data, how they're doing it, data quality, and all of that, you need a good system for data management and also for data governance. That's going to be discussed a lot later because if you remember when I talked about the basics of data science, I want to be sure that you understand the process of data science, and then we'll discuss like the things that are around the process, like security, governance, data operations. All of that will be discussed later. So I think in a few months, I'm going to be discussing more about data governance and data management. Right now, I can tell you that if you really want to do the process of data collection right, you need to have those processes automated and have good people that can tell you how all of that is being done. So with that, I want to end the session. I want to thank everyone for being here. It was a very interesting session. Make sure to follow us on YouTube. We're going to be posting more things on YouTube that are going to be outside of this podcast as well. So make sure to follow Cluster on YouTube. You can find Cluster. You can just search for that and you can subscribe. You can watch all of the episodes that we have so far. You can also listen to everything we have been doing in Data Science Now as a podcast on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, and even more places. And also, remember to subscribe to the newsletter here on LinkedIn. We already have more than 30,000 subscribers, so don't miss it. If you subscribe, you're going to get an email a week with all of this information written in a big piece for you. And you can get more information and you can join more people in the process of learning data science. So again, thank you for being here. I wanted to thank my team, the Cluster team, Gabriel, Eileen, and Hazel. And I'm going to be seeing you hopefully next week with a new episode of Data Science Now. See you soon.